Recently, a journalist asked Pope Francis to define himself. "Who are you, Holy Father?" the journalist asked. And Pope Francis' immediate response ties right into the message of today's gospel, because he said, "I am a sinner. I'm a sinner that Jesus Christ has pursued and found and saved." Today's parable in the gospel, Jesus presents two figures. One is a tax collector, a public sinner. The other is a Pharisee, a religious leader. And yet it's the sinner that Jesus is pleased with, because it is the tax collector who stands before the Lord and acknowledges his radical need for forgiveness, names things for what they are. He says, "I am weak, I have done wrong, and I need your tender mercy, O Lord." Within the tax collector, there was a space for the Lord to act. There was room for Jesus to enter in and to save and to restore what was lost. The Pharisee did all of the right things externally, but instead of his religious practice leading him to the heart of God, it simply led him to a greater egoism and sense of inflated self. How telling it is that in the parable, the Pharisee prays to himself, not to God. And it's not a cry to the Lord for help. It's a prayer of self-justification and of self-praise. And so within the Pharisee, there is no room for the Lord to act, because the Pharisee is completely self-sufficient. He has it all figured out, and he's doing it right. There's no way for the Lord to break in and do anything at all. When we study the scriptures, it's clear that the people that Jesus gets impatient with are not the sinners, are not the tax collectors, are not the prostitutes. The people that Jesus becomes impatient with are the religiously self-sufficient, those who do not think they need him, those who think they have already attained salvation, those who refuse to acknowledge their sinful weakness. And so how gladly we can come here, and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we begin it by acknowledging our sin, like the tax collector, asking the Lord to break into our life and do wonderful things to forgive us and to save us. The parable then speaks of humility. And humility is a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing of balance. Because on the one hand, we are far greater than we dare to imagine. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We have a soul, and we are destined for eternity. We fail to believe that often because it seems too good to be true. So on the one hand, we're greater than we ever dare to think. On the other hand, we're far smaller and poorer than sometimes we want to admit. Without God, we are lost. Without the Lord's mercy, we are not saved. And so humility is that balance between knowing our greatness and our littleness. All the saints speak of it. If we think of the Christian virtues as a lunch buffet, humility is the plate that they hand you at the beginning of the line on which you put everything else. Without the plate, you can't hold on to anything. So it is with humility. Because humility is simply knowing ourselves, first of all, as children of God, but as children in need of redemption and forgiveness. But the sinners in the Gospels, the sinners who encounter Jesus, do not simply stay in that place of acknowledging their sin and doing nothing more. They move. They grow. They experience conversion. They become saints. Think of St. Peter. Think of St. Mary Magdalene. Think of Paul. Think of how they started. And think of how they finished. They allow the Lord to forgive them and to move them to a place of discipleship where they were called to serve. They never forgot that they were sinners. But that not forgetting is the prerequisite for becoming a saint. And so it is with us. We cannot simply stay in the place of acknowledging our sin and then complacently accepting God's mercy without allowing that mercy to profoundly change us, to convert us, and to move us. It's where the sacrament of confession comes in so beautifully. More and more Catholics are rediscovering the power of the sacrament of reconciliation. Because in that confession, I can go to the Lord with all of my sin. I can acknowledge that I am far from imperfect. I can bring all of my guilt, all of my disappointments, all the things within me that I do not like, and lay them into the Lord's heart. And I hear this human voice consecrated in the sacrament of ordination, this human voice that speaks those powerful words of forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You are absolved of your sin. Go and sin no more. How telling it is that the very night of Easter Sunday, as narrated in John chapter 20, Jesus breaks through the walls and the locked doors of the disciples' fear, and he does three things. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them, he wishes them peace, and he empowers them to go forth and to absolve sins in his name. It's almost as if he can't wait to get back from the dead in order to share with the world the fruit of his victory on the cross. And the fruit of that victory is reconciliation and forgiveness. And so I try to go to confession once a month. If we don't go to confession at all, once a month probably sounds wild and crazy. But I find if I wait more than a month to go to confession, things rapidly start becoming unhinged. But I can look at a month. I can look at a month of my life and ask myself, how have I done? What have I done or not done that's kept my relationship with God from flourishing? What have I done or not done that's hurt other people? How have I failed to love? What have I done or not done to allow myself to become the best person that I can be? It's tempting to think I have nothing to confess because most of us have not committed grievous sins, and yet confession becomes a fine-tuning. It becomes looking perhaps more at our sins of omission, the good that we have failed to do, rather than the sins that we have committed, although that is always present. But the sacrament of confession, what a great gift Jesus Christ has given us, that we can go, and when we confess to a priest, we are sacramentally confessing to the whole church. In the early years of the church, the members of the community stood up and confessed to the whole assembly. Maybe we should try that this morning, right? We could all get up and confess our sins to each other. As the church got bigger, that became humanly impractical. And so the priest stands both as the sacramental minister of Christ, but as the representative of the body of the church. And because sin has social implications, even the most private secret sin affects the whole body because I am failing to be the person that Christ has called me to be. Because sin has social implications, then so does reconciliation. Can the Lord forgive us outside of the sacrament? The Lord's power is almighty. But confession is the normative way that Jesus Christ has set up for us to experience the mercy of the Father, poured out in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And so what a gift it is to acknowledge our sin. What a gift it is to say we are not perfect. What a gift it is to say that we need Jesus Christ and we give him ample space in our lives to move and to act and to convert us. Because otherwise, we have to be perfect. We have to become our own God. We have to have all the answers. We always have to be strong. How exhausting it would be to try to be our own God. We can simply rest on Jesus' heart, as assuredly as John rested on Jesus' heart during the Last Supper. And we find there the solace, the compassion, and the mercy that we seek. I've never gone to confession where I didn't leave feeling 1,000 times better than when I went in. And so today, like the publican, like the tax collector, we stand before the Lord and acknowledge our sin, not to be put on a guilt trip, but to know with an ever deeper joy the infinite love of Christ and the power of his mercy. To the degree that we tap into our sinfulness, to that same degree, we tap into the joy of being saved. And it's why the church proclaims that gospel of conversion, that we turn from our false self, we turn from that inflated pride that the Pharisee represents, and we come before the Lord and we simply say, Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. That brings us freedom. That brings us life. That brings us joy. For all of that, we give thanks and praise this morning for the infinite, tender mercy of Jesus offered to each one of us, never refused. All we have to do is show up and ask for it and allow the Lord to move us to that place of sanctity, the place that Pope Francis named so well, I am a sinner, but a sinner sought out by Jesus Christ, loved by him, forgiven by him. What goes for the vicar of Christ goes for all the members of the mystical body. And for that we give praise and thanks.